Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are you on fire?
Ron is dead.
How you doing, Stegulay?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Well, Dick, well, yeah.
Now, that's why they call me Cudsy.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Krug steps into it, fires, and it deflects to the far corner. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have rallied to win game 6, 3-1. They have tied this series at 3 games apiece. And game 7 will take place at TD Garden 2 nights from now.
Now it's all about that one game, so it's you can look back all you want, but now that's where you're at.
Listen, it's game 7. They want to keep playing hockey, and they just want to turn their A game, and that's all that goes through their heads.
We want the cup!
19 seconds left on the power play. Here's Krejci Kvarcer, feathered up top. Pastrnak, wrister, they score! That was Jake DeBrusk with a tip down low, just off the far post, and he angles it in. A power play goal! Digging away, centered, deflected, out in front, Heinen shoots, he scores! Seconds left here in the first. Near point, Miller shoots, looking for a bank right of the net. They score! What a savvy play by Kevin Miller! He saw that he didn't have a lane, went for a bank shot off the end boards, comes up the far side, and it's Patrice Bergeron in the far circle who snapped it into the empty net. And the Bruins have a 3-2 lead with 36 seconds left in the first.
Hey, this is from me. This is from Nicky Knuckles to Anderson. Anderson, I'm looking for you. You two-faced rat.
No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
Kevin Miller with the puck. High slot crew.
You and I must fight for life.
4 against 4 with 18:54 to go in the third. Kevin Miller with the puck, high slot through, fires, they score! A face-off win! Torrey Krug with a blast at the high slot! Long left side, beats Freddie Anderson, and the Garden is alive! It's tied at 4! Here's DeBrusk going wide, drops his shoulder, shoots, he scores!
DeBrusk trying to get a base on!
Get up around 10 a.m. and a bowl of pasta.
1 minute remaining in regulation in game 7. 6-4 Bruins. Bruins with a puck. Marchand angles over the red line. Backhand. Scores!
Come to Marymount Park in Quincy, and I will school you at street hockey.
All season long, the Bruins have been resilient. All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. Tonight, trailing, heading into the third period, the Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone.
The impossible was achieved yesterday. The Boston Bruins followed through despite the terrible play of Tuukka Rask. He was out-terribled by Anderson.
He turned back into Frederick Anderson.
He did.
Just the right time.
Just the right time. A lot of the writers, I was following some of the writers and what they were saying, were saying to pull Tuukka Rask in the second period after the slow-ass breakaway goal where there was flip-flop-flip when he was going about, he was coasting.
Was that the shorthanded one?
Yeah. Kapanen, yes.
Kapanen. That was, but nonetheless, the third period dominated by the Bruins.
And Tuukka righted the ship in the third period. He actually had a great period. But two awful periods made up for it in the third. As much as we say there's nothing worse than having to sit through a Game 7, there's nothing better than winning a Game 7.
Like, nothing better than that third period. Yeah, that was one big party for about 20 minutes.
Just the floodgates opened up. You're right. And it's funny because I know that Fred had said yesterday that he didn't want to watch it because, you know, Game 7s are very stressful. We've talked about this before. But when they got the two-goal lead after that, DeBrusk was the sixth goal, right?
Yeah, goal.
Okay, there was the Pasta. Goal. Okay, Pasternak was the sixth goal. That's right. That was the first time I texted Fred. And I said, turn the TV on. Because even when they were up by one, I knew that Fred was not going to want to watch it because it's like, even then it's like stressful enough. And when Pasternak scored that goal, I texted him. I was just like, turn on the TV because here we go.
Well, I watched the first two periods. Then I came home. I watched the first one at home, second one out, came home for the third. Didn't turn the second period. They were awful. Just deplorable.
Oh, I mean, just how many times did they not take care of the puck? I mean, just turnover after turnover.
Marchand falling over in the neutral zone, leading to that shorthanded breakaway goal.
Oh, yeah. They were doing nothing. So I was like, screw this. Then I saw that they had tied the game. So I tried to put the game on, but DirecTV had crapped out because of the rain. So then I started watching some. No, I had no other options. And then they got up a goal, and I turned it on, and then I couldn't take it, so I turned it off. And then Rich texted me, and then I watched the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that first period was about as great of a period of hockey as you could watch. I mean, the back and forth, that was amazing. Just the way that they went blow for blow. And then you're right, the second one was just a crap fest. And by the time the third one came on, I mean, when Krug hit that shot right off of the face-off, that's when you knew that something special was about to happen.
Well, I mean, Anderson, if he was truly hot, makes that save. It doesn't matter what the screen is.
You're right.
I mean,
you're right.
There were a couple goals there, like Heinen's, too, was not one from close in. And so you could see Anderson finally, whatever he had in games 5 and 6 had left him. And here we go. I mean, the Bruins turned back into the Bruins in the third period.
And you've got
the February and March Bruins showed up late, but they showed up, and that's all that matters.
And you're watching a guy turn into a certified stud right in front of you, and Jake DeBrusk. I mean, he has been, and we've been saying this. I mean, this playoff series, for the most part, he's been one of the better players on the ice. But last night, my God, he was just on fire. He said that he didn't even know that that second goal had gone in. He just heard the crowd. And so that's why he got all excited. Like, I mean, you watch that goal again, that was absolutely filthy. And he said that he didn't even realize it had gone in until the place went nuts. So, and even on TV, the crowd sounded unbelievable, except for the sing-along when they did Living on a Prayer, which I know they've been doing it all season long, which is still shameful in itself, but I don't think anyone sang along with such fever and vigor as they did last night, and that's the only thing that grossed me out other than Tuukka Rask playing in the first two periods. But that was the only part I was like, oh, okay, what are we doing
in
here?
In fairness, they didn't really test Rask in the third period. Rask,
he had some big saves. He had a couple. If you go back and watch,
he also had, you know, some saves in the first period. The funniest thing I read was someone said you're better off just stacking $7 million in the goal, and that would be better than Rask. Rask did not rise to the moment. Rask could have easily been the GOAT today. We could have been taking calls about getting rid of Tuukka Rask. So I'm not letting him off the hook just quite yet. But, however, resilience and game. I didn't think they were going to win. I certainly didn't think they were going to win it after the second period. And just a very satisfying win against a team that they should have beat. They listless. I mean, that second period was awful, and then the ability to come back and take the game like that was a joy to watch.
And the first line got back into business. I mean, that was the other thing, is that as much as over the last few games they have just been not able to bury it. I think that how many points?
7 points.
Bergeron
had a goal and two assists, and Martian and Pastrnak each had a goal and an assist.
Yeah. First star of the game, Mr. Patrice Bergeron, who didn't look hurt last night. And McAvoy playing with a little bit more vigor last night as well. So now they get a couple days off, and at 3 o'clock on Saturday, they will take on the Tampa Bay Lightning.
No extra days either. It's every other day starting Saturday.
So that should be an interesting series. They got the monkey off their back. They can now go into Tampa, a team that they played very well against in the regular season. Not that that matters. But
makes you feel. We actually talked a little bit about this yesterday, Fred and I. Tampa is actually a better matchup for the Bruins than Toronto is. I mean, Tampa has great skill players. They have a Hart Trophy finalist and a Vezina Trophy finalist. But the Bruins did handle them very, very well. And Tampa does not have the blinding speed that Toronto does. So despite the star power, and Tampa does have that, I like the Bruins' chances in this one, too.
It was funny because I had a list of things the Bruins made a mistake with going into my head, and now I don't have to use it starting the fourth line.
All right, right.
Just so many things that they had done wrong. But now it doesn't matter because now they are moving on, and things start again on Saturday. We'll take your phone call, 617-779-0985, as soon as I get my phone screener up.
In your car at 98.5. On your phone, on the new Sports Hub app.
And on your computer.
98.5thesportshub.com.
Toucher and Rich.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And the Bruins, in the third period, take down the Toronto Maple Leafs against, goes against everything that I believed, everything that history had shown, for the most part.
You were very vocal in your beliefs.
Oh, yeah.
Four hours yesterday.
And then I went out to watch the second period, and I can tell you this, I was not alone. I mean, after the second period, silence where I was, and then I went back home and had to retreat and bounce back and forth during the game. But it was a win.
They looked like the Bruins of March, though. The ones where you never counted them out.
Yep.
Right. Well, I mean, also the way that they came back. I mean, how many games were they behind in the month of March and even February?
Yeah,
where
it was in March, once they had a lead, they didn't give it back.
Well, I mean, there were a lot of come-from-behind wins.
And that's true, there were.
So, I mean, it was reminiscent of that team. So it was nice to actually see them poke their head out at the last minute in Game 7 and finally win one.
All right, 617-779-0985. Pat, go ahead.
Hey, guys, hey.
Hey.
So I took a page out of your book, Freddie. I after that first little mess at the beginning of the game where the puck went one way and Krejci went another, the first line couldn't score on the power play, it was 1-0. I said, you know what, I'm shutting it off. And I went to bed about 9:30.
Oh, jeez, Pat.
I waited until you guys this morning. So I am absolutely flipping over in my pickup on my way to work right now. I cannot believe it that they won. But here we go, Tampa Bay. And Jake DeBrusk is what a find. Dude, he is unbelievable. That kid is awesome, and I hope he stays with the Bruins for a long time.
Yeah, people didn't want him. People thought he was overdrafted.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out and was probably their best player last night. Rick, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Man, I'll tell you what. That game last night was like Halloween, dude. You know, you go to Halloween, you costume on and everything. They give you an apple, okay? All you want is a Reese's, okay? That first period, that's what you got. And then at the end of the game, you got a bag full of Reese's. I love you guys, man. Go Bees, baby!
You know what, Rick? As weird as that was, I'm feeling you. I'm feeling you. I'm 100% on that analogy.
Yeah,
they right out of call. The game. I got that, an apple for the, yeah, the right. No. And you know what? No, the pencil and the toothbrush. That was the second.
Yeah, you went to the dentist's house. The dentist who had to prove a point and announced that he was a dentist to everyone. Ed, go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I agree, guys, with the next series with Tampa Bay. I kind of like the matchup, but the only, I mean, Krejci and Rick Nash have got to get their heads out of their behind. I mean, watching them last night was incredibly frustrating.
Well, Nash made one of the all-time stupid penalties. I mean, they had already called it that it was going to be. Who is it?
He took away a power play basically by retaliating.
Sure, he retaliated. There was no reason for him to retaliate. And I heard people saying, "Well, he didn't know there was a penalty."
But
well,
having said that, the 4-on-4 that followed went all Bruins.
Of course, so. It was Krug. Yeah, immediately.
I didn't have a problem with Krejci last night as much as I had in prior games. The problem with Rick Nash is he just hasn't done anything. And that line looks, well, he moved Nash, Cassidy moved Nash up to the second line eventually during that game. But when he was on the same line as Backes and Riley, you were just like, oh man, like, this is real slow. And Backes is heavy, plays heavy, and they did a lot of contact.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, how many times did you go, Nash, you're a power forward.
Yeah.
Like, how can you not, you know, make it through one guy? How can you not, you know, state your physical presence? And so you got to hope that Rick Nash can pick it up. You know, he's a complimentary piece on this team. You would hope that he can pick it up at some point.
Well, Pat, for people like you who either turned off your TV because you just couldn't take it, this is for you.
Here's DeBrusk going wide, drops his shoulder, shoots, he scores! Jake DeBrusk, barrel over the line, into the right circle, dropped the shoulder, got a step, and then whistled a wrister by Freddie Anderson. Crashing it out in front is Pastrnak, he scores! Bergeron set it out in front, David Pastrnak all by himself. 1 minute remaining in regulation in Game 7. Riley Nash up the middle, Marchand angles over the red line, backhand, scores! 7-4 Bruins.
That gentleman right there, the voice of your Boston Bruins, he'll be in studio with us at 7 o'clock, Mr. Judd Surratt.
I was comfortable watching the game during that time.
Yeah, well, yes. What a classic at the TD Garden yesterday. For two periods, the Bruins went blow for blow with the Toronto Maple Leafs until the floodgates opened in the third. One Boston period. Wins it 7-4. Before the game, there was a lot of talk about whether to start Donato instead of Heinen, and in the end, Bruce Cassidy ended up looking like an absolute genius.
Krejci digging away, right of the net now, Rick Nash. Centered, deflected, out in front, Heinen shoots, he scores! Rick Nash with a feed back of the net.
That was soft.
Slid it into the slot, Dan Heinen found some
space.
That's
when you knew Anderson was a little vulnerable.
Yeah. I mean, they didn't care about where they shot it from last night. There was no gripping of the stick. There was no making that extra move in front. Clearly, the directive from Bruce Cassidy is, I don't want any of that. Just put the puck on the net and go there.
I mean, between Krug and Heinen's goals, those were soft.
They were.
Nice.
No, not to be outdone by Rask.
A lot of soft goals from everyone last night.
And thank God Anderson played like Anderson.
Yeah.
Well, Danton Heinen buries his first career playoff goal in the first period, and we're off and running. For the first two periods we mentioned, Rask was a disaster, giving up two goals in the first 6 minutes alone. But in the third period, not only did Tuukka's game settle down, but the offense went nuts.
Kevin Miller with the puck. High slack, Krug fires, and scores!
That goal happened so fast that even Doc Emmerich yesterday was taken aback. Like, he was caught off guard. And that guy's a pro. He's never caught off guard. But he started the rally. Torrey Krug in the third with a 4-on-4 goal right off the faceoff. And then it was time to solidify Jake DeBrusk as one of the best players the Bruins have had on the ice all postseason.
19 seconds left on the power play. Here's Krejci far circle. Feathered up top. Pastrnak, wrister. They score!
Man, what a postseason this guy has had. With his two goals last night, he now has 5 goals and 2 assists for 7 points already. And as far as the first line is concerned, they storm back in a big way. As you mentioned earlier, John, the whole line as a whole had 3 goals and 4 assists on the night. But the true MVP might be the notepad that Jack Edwards used to write down his closing phrase that he obviously been holding on to for
the
weeks.
The second I heard that.
The sheer will of that notepad of not setting its own self on fire from embarrassment.
Well, he's gone. This is it.
Is a true testament of sheer will on behalf of the notepad. Let's take a listen.
In the spring, the Leafs fall. Boston wins game 7-4.
I love how he has that pause to let that sink in. You like that one in the spring?
Well, he had to drop the mic and walk away after that.
The highlight is that he goes home and then not to come back.
Holy cheese-a-rooney.
Yep.
I guess that's if you had to substitute that one line for a ragtag farmer.
I'll take the ragtag farmers 7 days out of seven.
Boy, that was one of the most awkward 2 minutes of television I've ever seen. They came back from commercial. Do you remember that years ago where he came back and he just had this speech ready to go and delivered it, looked in the camera, and then there was the awkward, what do we do now? The people in the Nesson studio after it was all finished, like, is that it? What the hell was that?
Wait, no, wasn't the ragtag thing before the game?
No, it was after the Montreal win. Yeah, because, I mean, it was about how people from Montreal think that they're all high and mighty because it's from the hockey capital of the world.
Yeah,
I remember the
ragtag farmers changed the world.
No, I remember
and who has more fun than us?
That's how he ends it. That's how it ends every time.
Well, he says that constantly. By the way, Anderson with an .829 save percentage. Rask out-dueling him. 833 save percentage.
Yeah, the goaltending wasn't good by anyone last night.
No, not good.
No.
That's the one thing going into Tampa Bay where you're like,
Yeah. Tampa has a massive advantage in net.
Oh, massive.
Series.
I wonder how short the leash is on Rask in that series.
Well, you have a competent backup. That's the good news.
Yes.
And so I also think that, you know, Bruce Cassidy's not been afraid, as we know, to yank him from a playoff game. So we shall see.
Well, he had to in that game, but I'm surprised he didn't last night. I'm a little surprised that he didn't yank Rask because Rask.
I think if he had given up one more, that would have been
it. If he gave up one more, that's game. And then it's too late.
I think. Well, let's see. I'm trying to remember now. It was 3-2 Boston
at the end of the first.
And then it was 3-3.
And then 4-3.
After 4-3, I thought that's when you would have pulled them.
You would have pulled them at 4-3 because at 5-3, it's basically over.
Well, there was talk during the intermission, the second intermission, as to whether or not you would put Hudobin in there. And I think that Cassidy did the right thing. Obviously, it's, you know, hindsight's 20/20. But, you know, if he would have had one more goal scored on him, he would have been yanked. He would have been yanked.
Yeah, but then that's game. I mean, that's...
Yeah, I felt that way, too. If you're down 5-3 in the third period, you're not coming back from that.
You're not coming back from that. All right, we will be back.
There's some great, by the way, locker room quotes that we ended up getting, including a... there's nothing better than just, like, Canadian hockey players who have no problem dropping the F-bomb while being interviewed.
Yep, and they're very excited, so we will have that for you. Here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Talking about the game is no game.
Stop. You're making me laugh so hard. What you're doing is so funny.
Dutcher and Rich.
You're on a roll. I am busting a gut. Stop.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All season long, the Boston Bruins have found a way. The Boston Bruins make it happen. The Bruins win it in game 7. Victory 7-4 over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Goodbye, Toronto. Hello, Tampa.
And that's what happened yesterday.
That's how you do it. Jack Edwards, you don't have to write down some kooky, catchy phrase.
But it's his thing. And that's what he thinks it's his thing.
See, I like Jack Edwards because he's so weird. Like, if he was just kind of a normal guy, it would just be like white noise. He's so weird.
Songwriter, Jack
Edwards. You know, Doc Emmerich never played hockey? He said that last night. He's like, I never played the game, so I'll defer to you. It was when, who got hit? Riley in the face?
Oh, yeah. From Chara. You talking about the slap shot?
Yeah, the slap shot.
Yeah, that was bad.
What a nightmare.
That was floating a little bit, so...
He was lucky.
Yeah, he was very lucky. By the way...
Yeah, Marshawn kind of did the old Toro. You know, he got out.
Oh, yeah, he's so good.
I would do that too. He's smart.
It was funny because I was watching that, and it instantly, of course, reminds you of the Steven Stamkos one where he just got. But Stamkos got it right, if I'm not mistaken. It was like almost between the eyes, like on the tip of the at the top of the nose.
Jack brought that up right after it happened. Stamkos, because I forget the defenseman's name, but he said, yeah, Stamkos got one Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. He got patched up. He was right back on the ice, so we'll see that guy again. It's just how long it takes for him to get sewn up.
I'll never forget that, because I was at that game, and when there weren't a lot of TVs for replay or anything like that, so when he got hit, you know, the whole place was like, oh my god. So he went off the ice, and then later on, everyone's looking out of the ice, and I'm looking at this guy's number. I'm like, is that Stamkos? Is he back? How the hell is he playing after that? And sure enough, I guess later on that night, there's pictures of him. He apparently went drinking at Causeway Street.
Of course he did.
With his face all jacked up. They had just lost. He's like, well, screw it. I'm going to go drinking. So, I mean, that's to get a slap shot to the face. A slap shot to the face by Chara might be a top five like forms of pain that I would not want.
Yeah, Riley got very lucky last night. By the way, I won't say anything, but if I ever wanted to see the Avengers movie, I had more people send me what happens. Yesterday,
really?
That I would ever care to.
Now, how would they know?
Apparently, they've seen it in some way, shape, or form, or they'd read something about it. But I had at least five people send me what happens in the film.
Because there's some people who say that they know because they read a comic book, but apparently, it's different than the comics.
Okay, well, some of these were memes that were going around the internet. So I know this makes you very nervous.
No. The only thing that makes me nervous is that the listener's getting it spoiled. That's it.
Like, I know. It makes you very nervous that I'm going to say something.
Yeah, I don't want it slipping out, because that would really, truly piss people off.
Yeah, I just like that it makes you nervous. That I could at any point say what happened in this film.
Yes, because it would make our listeners pissed.
No, I know, but it just wanted to linger in the back of your head. At any moment, this could happen.
I don't like that for the sake of the show. It would be the equivalent of just having Sarge on here for 3 hours. Like, I don't know what would piss off listeners more. You giving a spoiler or just having Sarge talk?
I said I wasn't going to do it, but just know I know.
Okay, good.
And just think about that.
Or
put it
do
in the back
you?
Of your head. Put it in the back of your head. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't think five listeners would all tell me the same thing and I'll be wrong.
So five listeners all went to the movie.
Apparently.
What you should do is write it down and present it to Rich, and once Rich sees that you're right, then he can really start worrying.
I'm right.
Oh, okay.
So, I just want to put that in your head. That at any moment, who knows, I go off half-cocked.
Just blurt it out.
Yep. At any moment, that could happen.
Well, listen, you suffer as much as I do if you do it. So, I mean, the listeners will get pissed.
Okay. Just keep it in that lockbox.
But if the lockbox is there. It's there in the corner of the room.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not open at any time.
I told you I'm not saying anything.
Yeah.
I just want Rich to know I know. Because he was adamant that I didn't know.
Rich, I have no idea. You don't have to worry about
me. He wasn't worried about you.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, he wasn't worried about you.
Yeah, because one of us has a track record of spoiling things. And his name is not John Wallace.
That's true. However, having said that, that was one of Fred's funnier bits of his career.
It was. That's because it was like something that was, you know, Fred's, it was a kid's book, you know? It was like a thing.
Yeah, it was,
like our, you know.
It was every bit as popular as this movie.
Not with our demo. Not a lot of like.
No, the demos are different.
Not a lot of like 30 something year old dudes reading the new Harry Potter book.
No, but 18 to 34 year olds were
men.
It was everybody. Again, my ratings were not just men. I don't know why yours were. We played chick music all the time. All right. So last night, a big win. 7-4. And Rich, there was some interviews after the game.
Yep, Brad Marchand was talking about the intensity of the game and the crowd.
Yeah, a lot of relief. That was one of the most intense games I've ever been part of. But those are the ones that we're going to remember forever. So it was a lot of fun.
And what we're hearing now is that there was apparently a moment like in Miracle where the Herb Brooks came in and made the big speech between the second and third periods. And I guess the two people who delivered the message were the two guys you would expect. Patrice Bergeron, and Zdeno Chara. So Zdeno Chara was asked about that, and here's what he said.
We were more consistent, and we were driven. I think that was very important for us to go into the third with different mindset.
Could you speak it?
Yes.
You've been in this game a long time.
What was your message?
No, I'm not going to share that.
Because I'm not going to tell you. I had a message, but I ain't telling you what exactly I said.
So you said, I'm going to shove myself in another ride.
Right, the rooster ride.
The rooster ride at one of them amusement parks up there in Maine.
See, that would suck. You can't be eliminated from the playoffs before Canopy Lakes even open.
That's a good point.
Like, that's because, you know, then you know you failed.
Yeah, because then, I mean, then you got to wait around for Canopy Lake, and maybe you want to go back to Slovakia.
Right. You just go there until it opens, and then you're waiting at the front gate for when it opens so you can ride the Rooster of Doom, wash it all away.
Yeah, you had these plans to go back to Slovakia. Now you have to wait so you can go to your annual Canyon Lake trip.
Yep, and here is Bruce Cassidy on talking about how things opened up in the third.
We've talked about it all year, playing to our standard, and sometimes it's good enough, and other times it's not. You go back to work, and tonight it had to be good enough. I think we all understood that, but we didn't let it eat us up, and we found our game after the second intermission. You know, we talked about a few things, and we came out in the third and played like we can and got the win.
So Grizzlick was doing an interview on Nesson, and by the way, I mentioned that this was a Canadian earlier, but Grizzlick obviously is from here. But either
obviously.
Way,
obviously,
well, I mean, no, I there's that dad. Story about his dad. That's a cool story.
And his mom is a teacher.
His dad's still on the Bull Gang?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, he's still one of the guys who goes out there and does the transition from ice to the parquet for the Celtics. And I guess he's been doing that for years.
Yes. Every game they bring that to our attention.
Yeah, it's a cool story though. So here's Matt Grizzlick afterwards, and he got by the Nesson sensors.
Best experience of my life for sure. This crowd was buzzing. They were down going to the third period. There was never a doubt. Z stepped up, screaming at us in the locker room, get us going. So it was amazing.
He was effing screaming at us, blah, 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 blah.
Grizzlick played well last night, but if you said there was never a doubt, there was a massive amount of doubt going into that third period.
Well, there wasn't doubt from Tuukka Rask, if you ask him.
Oh, no, I felt good from the start. You know, I'm going to save there on Matthews right off the hop, and then, you know, you get a tip goal. Then, you know, the second one was kind of, you know, one-time read, and then he ends up going back, and I didn't see the release. I mean, just tough bounces. I felt good. And
okay, no, the tip goal wasn't your fault. The second goal was your fault, and then that breakaway goal was certainly your fault. I mean, when a guy has literally stopped skating and there's about an inch of room between you and the skater, you get that in, or you stop that. There's no excuse not to stop that shot. I mean, you're making $7 million, and you played to the level of Anderson last night, and Anderson is just some jabroni goalie, and Tuukka Rask is one of the highest paid goalies, if I'm not mistaken, in the NHL. So that is going to be an issue going forward. We'll take your call, 617-779-0985. More on the Bruins coming up.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Pasta.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Curtis, go ahead.
Curtis, what's up, man? Hey, Curtis.
Hi.
I just like to hear him breathe.
Curtis.
Curtis! Curtis! Curtis, tell me you have a good Halloween analogy that involves apples and bags of Reese's. I bet you know what? I bet his name's not Curtis.
Hey.
Person on the phone. Can you hear us talking to you? You live in Maine, apparently.
Well, that information is probably wrong.
Could be Philadelphia.
Hang on. His comment was talk about the Bruins.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, what we've been doing for an hour.
No, but I don't think that it was. I think Bird meant, hey, I want to talk about the Bruins.
Oh, okay. Instead of talk about the Bruins like it's an instruction. Okay,
right.
I see.
All right. Right. You would have to listen to literally 2 minutes of the show. It's not devoted to the Bruins.
Yep.
Okay.
So, last night it was a... That's so damn funny. I just, how many times, is it at least once a day that we go to someone on hold and we say the person's name over and over and they're like, well, my name's not Dave or whatever it is.
It's more than once a day.
at least once a day. You got a little happy because Bird was late this morning, right?
He was? Yeah, he was late. Oh, okay. Someone should have called him.
Boy.
All right.
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe we need a fail-safe for the fail-safe.
Yeah. No, he was late today. And it was brought to my attention.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
But you know, I was thinking about this yesterday with Bird. You know, he goes, like, you have a wife and kids. And I was thinking, yeah. And I feel like I'm talking to my son. Like, if I ask my son to go to bed and he turns around and goes, I want to go to bed. Blah, blah, blah. That was exactly the reaction to, you didn't call me today.
Mm-hmm.
It was a fit like my son would throw. So, yeah. I mean, I do have kids. Maybe that will help me deal with Bird in the future.
Maybe it will.
Yeah. All right. Dan.
I was just going to say, he was so enthralled by the montage. That's why he was out in the car listening to the montage
that
Richard put together at the top of the
episode. Appreciate it. I like that.
Very nice compliment.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
You saved yourself, Bird.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly what Bird was doing. He was in the.
He was on two wheels coming around the corner off of Soldier's Field Road.
Because he could never listen to that. There was no other way he could have heard that. He didn't want to get out of the car for a montage. Okay.
That's what we do. We make you freeze in your car.
Yeah, that's
right.
You'll
be able to move.
Especially if you work at the radio station. You're aware that it will be played again. Okay.
By the way, Mike Babcock still sounds like the most Canadian person on the planet.
We came in the third period in a great spot. If you go through the last 10 minutes of the second, we played really well. We controlled it. We were in good spots. So there was no reason for us not to continue through the third. In the end, though, they pushed and they shot the puck. It went in the net. And you have to give them credit for that.
I wouldn't mind doing a little more research on this, but I'm being told by one of our listeners that there were some people, some Toronto Maple Leafs fans, who wanted, it says, yeah, Toronto fans were saying Marchand did the duck. Remember when the Chara slap shot?
Yeah.
He ducked on purpose to hit Riley in the face, and he should be suspended.
Jeez. Suspended
so, for not taking the puck that's flying towards him.
Okay, so what rule is that? What rule did he break?
It's take the puck.
Penalized for ducking.
Yeah.
So he sees Chara take a slap shot.
Yep.
And he covers his face and doesn't want to get hit by the puck. And so explain to me, what are they saying the penalty is?
A suspension. It should be suspension.
No, I understand a suspension, but what would be the...
It was dirty. It was dirty on his part. Brad Marchand.
So he intentionally screened the defenseman in the last minute.
But I can't suspend someone just under the guise it was dirty. There has to be a rule that was broken.
Fred, Toronto fans, it's like the home of hockey. So obviously they know what they're talking about and you don't. Okay,
no, but
so just back off. Fred, if you know what's good for you, back off this conversation or you're going to look stupid, okay?
You know, Marchand, I can just picture the thing from the head of discipline. Marchand, you'll see here.
Where's that sound effect?
he's protecting his face, and then it ends up hitting Riley, who missed about 5 minutes of the game until he was back.
Trying not to get mutilated.
Marchand boxed the guy out and made sure he kept himself between the defenseman and the puck right until the puck got there.
Yeah, that was great.
Because no one in the NHL knows when you see Zdeno Chara load up from the point to get the hell out of the way.
Yeah, it's 100 mile an hour.
No one has ever witnessed that before.
I need that sound. I need the zhing sound effect.
All right, Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, great win by the Bruins there last night. They really stepped up. The young guys did well. I like to disagree with something you spread. You said about Tuca. All four of those goals were defensive breakdowns. They coughed up the puck, and on the breakaway, Marchand fell down.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of, I know it was slow motion, but...
Yeah, Marchand fell down. Yeah. I understand that.
That was bad.
Raz should have had that. And then also, in defensive breakdowns and that they couldn't clear the zone... But the second goal, he obviously should have had that.
That was softy.
That wasn't tipped or anything. The first goal, obviously not his fault. But, I mean, there was two goals there. And when it was that tight, you could see. I mean, Rask didn't have a good game. I mean, he statistically didn't have a good game. You could see from just watching it that, I mean, he wasn't great by any stretch of the imagination. And they were, for a vast majority of that game were having a lot of trouble getting the puck out of the zone.
Take away the fact that they won the game. Just look at Rask in specific. He allowed 4 goals last night in a game 7.
Yeah.
A couple of which were soft.
And not on a tremendous amount of shots.
Yeah. 4 goals in how many attempts? Because it was something ridiculously small.
Yeah, it was like 20 16? Or something.
No, I think...
No, Rask had 20 saves.
Yeah, 20 saves.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's 24 shots. And he let 4 in. Yeah, 20 saves. And Anderson had the worst save percentage, but he faced 29 shots. So, Tuukka not good last night. Not good at all. And you would figure he would have to be in a game 7, but it was very fortunate. And I was quite surprised that they didn't pull him after that 4th goal. Because it didn't seem like he was overly interested. Especially on that breakaway. I mean, if that's a shootout, you have to save that in any scenario. And you had, Marchand fell down right around the blue line. I mean, you had plenty of time to, adjust.
Now people are forwarding me all of these Maple Leafs fans who are upset with Marchand for ducking and not getting hit.
Well, that was the game. I don't understand how it didn't affect the game in any way, shape, or form. It's not like when Riley was out, the whole team fell apart.
Fred, you're not from Toronto. They know hockey better than us, all right? People in Toronto are well more versed.
Right. You really need a scarf to wear to fully understand the game of hockey.
If you want to look stupid, keep talking, all right?